All right, my friends, thanks for tuning into the podcast, where, as always, we'll discuss the professional literature and the evidence-based protocol as they relate to the effective treatment of clinically significant anxiety symptoms. I'm Chris Lines, licensed psychotherapist and OCD spectrum disorders treatment specialist, and this, well, this is OCD Straight Talk.
Like, the question of why do I have these particular intrusive thoughts is, I think, a fair enough question, right? I mean, I can't tell you the number of times through the years that I've sat with a patient and not only fielded that question, but heard, man, I wish I had that kind of OCD instead of what I'm dealing with, right? And that's because in the process of treating patients, we'll talk about some other kinds of cases or subtypes and how the techniques get applied in these kinds of situations. It gives some perspective to patients who are sort of learning how to use the technique and like I say, what it looks like in real time. And so in talking about these other cases or subtypes, patients will often sort of say, well, I wish I were dealing with that. That would be so much easier for me to deal with. You know, I wouldn't be sitting here. I would just shrug off that kind of thought. It wouldn't bother me, you know? And so that gives you some kind of clue into, well, why do I have these intrusive thoughts? I think that it's often helpful for patients to think of OCD like a living entity. Right? That it's trying to checkmate you. It's trying to continue on in perpetuity in dominating your life. It has a vested interest, right, in kicking your ass. It wants to do that, right? And so there's the question of, well, why am I dealing with these thoughts? And the answer is because OCD knows that this particular topic is deeply valuable to you. OCD wraps itself around the things that matter the most to you, right? And that's what makes it powerful. When we have intrusive thoughts, it's like, well, the reason that they're so anxiety-producing for us is not only because these intrusive thoughts are representative of actual possibilities, right? Oftentimes people will say, well, I know my intrusive thoughts are irrational. Well, no, they're not actually irrational in the sense that they are possible. The realization of these fears is not outside the realm of reality. You know what I'm saying? That's part of what makes it scary. But the other piece of it is these are eventualities, you might say, or at least possibilities, the nature of which is deeply scary to you. Right? That's why you have these intrusive thoughts, because these possibilities are deeply unsettling and frightening to you, whereas they might not be to somebody else. Again, the idea is that OCD wraps itself around the things that matter the most to you. And so there's this whole idea of when you work to stop compulsions and you begin making progress, OCD does shapeshift. It does morph. And you do find that you have different kinds of intrusive thoughts. And some individuals will find that numerous subtypes are activated for them at the same time. Well, that's true, right? And OCD will sort of flip-flop back and forth between these like the game of whack-a-mole, right? They'll sort of shift around and change and you know, one day or one moment or one week or one month, it's this, and then the next it's shifting over to that one. And again, think of OCD as a living entity. It's trying to keep you disoriented. There's an advantage for the OCD in doing this. It wraps itself around the things that matter the most to you. And then oftentimes there are these metacognitions, thoughts that we have about the thoughts that we have. Right. And so you'll have this kind of thought, whatever it is. What if I'm a pedophile, say, for example. Right. And then there's thoughts about these thoughts. These thoughts run into the future and they relate to consequences of this possibility. Right. And they'll say, well, if I'm a pedophile, then I'm eventually going to sexualize a child. You know, or what if I'm a pedophile? Well, if I am, oh no, what if I sexualize a child? Well, if I sexualize a child, I'm going to get caught. Oh shit, well, if I get caught, I'm going to go to jail. And everyone around me is going to hate me. I'm going to be completely alone. I'm going to die in jail alone without any friends or family, right? I'll be entirely isolated forever, right? And so this idea of being a pedophile, or even back up a little bit, the idea of having some anxiety around children, right? The idea of possibly feeling somewhat aroused, maybe while changing a diaper, et cetera, our minds race forward to the feared possibility of dying completely isolated and hated by all, right? And so that's what makes this kind of fear so deeply unsettling. Not just the idea that I might sexualize a child and that's upsetting enough in and of itself, but the idea that as a result, there'll be all these other eventualities or possibilities that I might have to face, right? And this thought here, what if I'm a pedophile, or this image that I'm having becomes evidence that sure enough, that's coming. I'm going to have to deal with that. And it becomes very, very distressing. This is why the compulsions then feel so appealing, because they are rescuing us from this terribly feared outcome. OCD wraps itself around the things that you value the most. And so you have these fears and all this shit going wrong around the things that you deeply care about, which is obviously terrifying. And then you have these compulsions that come in that want to save the day and protect you from your feared outcome, right? You think about it and it's like, well, okay, am I going to go through door number one or door number two? And door number two helps to alleviate some anxiety, and door number two helps to manage feared outcomes, and door number two just seems to be a far superior option to door number one, which is like, well, I'm going to have to face these terribly feared outcomes, and in the meantime, I'm fucking panicked all the time, right? And that's a horrible option. So it makes good sense that in light of this idea that OCD wraps itself around the things that you value the most. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that you eventually engage compulsions to safeguard those items, those topics, those people, that future. You're safeguarding not just yourself, but the people around you, and not just yourself and the people around you, but the future that you want to have with them, right? The compulsions offer some kind of security against the feared outcomes. And this is where the whole conversation intersects with uncertainty. And a lot of patients are going to feel significant distress at the presence of uncertainty, because what we're talking about are things that you deeply value. Uncertainty and the acceptance of uncertainty and the recognition that uncertainty is a fact of life, that it's always there. It's inherent to reality. When you start talking about this idea, it's no wonder that patients immediately begin backpedaling, that they're defensive. Whoa, 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 I don't want that. I don't like that. It causes me anxiety. I don't want uncertainty. This is why I do the compulsions. This is why. The trouble for the patient is the compulsion only deepens the problem, or at the very least, in the best case scenario, it maintains symptom severity. And so the acceptance of uncertainty, the identification and the stopping of compulsions relative to the feared outcomes about the things we value the most, which is asinine. It's backward. Everything about it feels wrong, admittedly. But when we really begin to understand and work that strategy, this is the way that the bear gets out of the bear trap. You actually push his paw deeper into the trap, which releases the trap. Nothing about that makes sense until you understand the mechanics. When you understand the mechanics, you see, yeah, when the bear pushes his or her paw deeper into the trap, the tension is released and she's able to slowly pull her paw out, right? There's real logic to the idea of stopping compulsions, even in the face of these feared outcomes relative to the things you value the most. There's real logic to it. It's just not immediately apparent. Working hard to stop compulsions in this context is essential to making progress. Well, that's it for another episode of OCD Straight Talk. Feel free to reach out with any questions you might have to chrislines04@gmail.com. If you found the podcast helpful, consider giving it a 5-star rating or subscribing to OCD Straight Talk for structured help with your anxiety or OCD symptoms.
We'll be right back.